show them who we are and what we do. I want to show you who God is. I want to show you that he is the God of love. Amen. That there's no love greater than his love. That he is the one that have given his only begotten son who died for us. And we are the recipients of this grace that he's given. Come on and say amen. And so he says to them, let us pass over to the other side. And there were people with him, not in the boat with him, but they were around him. And you know, sometimes people around you will go through the same stuff that you're going through, all because they are around you. I wish I had somebody here. He said in verse 37, and I'm getting to the point where the meat of it, amen. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Look at this here. Now, Jesus says, let's go to the other side. They went just like they was. They went and they had ships with them. And all of a sudden, a great storm rose. Now, I've been on this very same sea, actually in the same place where Jesus went from one side to the other. And the way it's set up is that all around you see mountains. So if there was a storm on the other side, dark clouds, you really couldn't see where the storm was coming because it would hit you all of a sudden because of the mountains that are around you. And so as they were going to the other side in the evening, not to mention that it was getting dark, that they couldn't see that the storm was arising. And so this thing hit them all of a sudden. Now, sometimes in our life, some things hit us all of a sudden. Some things come without warning. Sometimes storms happen and you don't think it's going to be as bad because you've been through a storm before, but this time it seems to be horrible. It seems to be terrible. It seems to be something more that I'm willing to bear. And since it's come all of a sudden, I was not prepared for this. I know, have you ever been there and say, I wasn't prepared for this. I didn't see this coming. It depleted my funds. It took all of my energy. I cried all my tears. I don't have any strength left to deal with the aftermath of the storm. But thanks to God that Jesus is on board with you. He says that there arose a great storm. Matthew said a great tempest, which really means there arose a great commotion. Sometimes we have a great commotion that happens in our life. And you know how all that commotion, you know how you can, you know, when I was young, if the older people, they would say, what's all that commotion? Meaning that something didn't sound right. You know, they can hear children laughing and playing, but when things change, they knew something has changed. Now, what's all this commotion going on? What's all this chaos? This can't be of peace, so it has to be of chaos. I wish I had somebody. But the first thing we need to realize is that the storm brings perils in our life. That was a great tempest that caused a great commotion. And so when they found themselves in the midst of the sea on their way to the other side, doing what Jesus said, do, following him, following his instruction, all of a sudden there arose an unexpected storm. I know we thought that because we serve God, we're not supposed to go through anything. We serve God, we're not supposed to encounter this kind of stuff. He's supposed to tip us off and get us to safety. But because they followed his instruction, because they were with him, they went through a storm. And sometimes because you're with him, sometimes because you follow his instruction, sometimes because you're doing what he asks you to do, you're going to encounter some stuff that will bring perils in your life and storms in your life. Now, what I need you to see about this storm, that it wasn't just that the storm had wind, but the storm had rain. The storm had a great disturbance in their life. The storm blew them from side to side, and it could have been that the water, because the boat kept going side to side, it kept taking on water because the waves kept coming over the top, or it could have meant that not only are the waves coming over the top, but the rain is falling down in the boat. So I got two things going on that's about to sink me, amen? You ever had some stuff in your life that seems to be overwhelming? It's coming from the top. It's coming from the side. It's shaking me. It's rattling me. I'm pushed over on this side. I'm pressed on this side. I'm stretched to a point that I don't feel like I'm going to make it. That's the situation that the disciples had found themselves in because of the tempests of the sea and the perils that came from the storm, to the point that it says that, and the ship was now full. Say, the wind came and the waves beat not on the ship, because as long as it's on the outside, I'm good. As long as it's on the outside, I'm okay. But he says that it beat in to the ship. And so what that means is that the waves came over the top, and when the waves landed, it rattled the ship. And it got to the point, it shook them up. And now what we have to understand is that these guys, these disciples, they were seafaring men. They knew how to maneuver in a storm. It wasn't the first storm that they'd been in because they were fishermen. And every good fisherman knows that if you want to get the best catch, you need to go out in the storm. So they knew that if I go out in the storm, I can get a good catch. And so therefore, this was not their first time in a storm. This was not their first time dealing with the wind and the waves of the sea. But it was something that was unexpected. And guess what else? It was something that began to overtake them. And what happened was they begin to see what was going on. When we start looking at everything that's going on, we're about to sink. When we start looking at how the wind is blowing, we're about to sink. That's what Peter did. Amen. When we start looking at how the waves are beating upon the ship and the effects and the rattling and how I'm shaking from what I'm going through, then we're about to sink. And so now the ship was almost full. You need to know that the enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But look at this. More so, not only was it affecting the disciples, imagine the people that was in the little ships. The people that were in the little boats, they were in a bigger boat, but the people that were in the little boat, they had to be encountering and experiencing more trouble than the people in the bigger boat. Come on and say amen. If you're in a little bitty 15-foot boat and somebody comes by on a party barge, you're sure to feel the waves in your little 15-foot boat. Come on and say amen. But if you're on a party barge, you don't really feel the waves like the little boat. And so what I'm saying is that some people who are following him, and they're following him because you're following him, they go through some of the same storms, but you don't hear about their trouble. Oh, my God. But when we come to church, you can tell we've been through a storm because we can't hold our head up. We come on and say, man, we can't even praise the Lord. We want somebody to ask us how we're doing and tell us it's going to be all right when we should know in our heart that it's going to be all right already. Because Jesus is on board. We need to know not to panic because of the storm that we're dealing with, because he's right there with us. I wish I had somebody here. We need to know that God is on our side. And so he said, now that the ship was full, and we need to know that the Bible says that even when the enemy comes in like a flood, y'all help me preach a little bit, that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. In other words, I'm going to be like a stopper. I'm going to be like a cork. If you put me in the water, I'm not going to sink. I'm just gonna bob. I'm gonna hang out right here until the Lord delivers me. I'm not gonna sink. I'm not gonna let go. I wish I had somebody. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, I don't go to the bottom of the ocean, but I rise on top. I wish I had somebody, because I'm made of something. I'm made of what God has put on the inside of me. You can't sink the Word of God. The Word of God walks on water. The Word of God, oh, I wish I had somebody here. The Word of God can't be sunk, can't be covered, because when they try to cover the Word of God, it rose up on the third day morning. Do I have any witnesses here that realize that I don't need to panic because Jesus is on board with me? Said the ship was full. It filled the ship. They had this experience where now they said, we know that if the boat get full of water, I don't have no bucket to dip out. I can't put enough work in to get the water out. As soon as I dip some out, I dip a gallon out, 5 gallons fall in. You know, you ever been, you know how we say, when it rains, it really pours. They were at a point where it was pouring in their life, and they had no hope. All they knew how to do is that we got to try to do whatever we can to get us through this until the other side. But then in verse 38 says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship. And guess what? He was asleep on a pillow. They awake him and said unto him, Master, cares thou not that we perish? Now, in these days, they had the rudder of the ship in the back of the ship, in the hinder part of the ship. That's where they had the rudder to kind of control the direction of the ship. But here was Jesus, and they were all trying to survive, maybe dipping water, panicking, and doing whatever. And nobody was at the back trying to maneuver the boat. Because Jesus is the one that gives the direction. Yeah. Wish I had somebody. So here he is in the back of the boat, but he's asleep right where he should be controlling the boat. And they're saying, look, we're trying to do all we can, and you're not trying to help us. So basically, look at what they said. They said unto him, Master, carest thou that we perish? Now, we understand that the storm brought perils, but the storm also brought them to a place of petition. Preach anyway. And so they called on Jesus. It caused them to call on him to pray, and they sought him for deliverance. And the Bible even tells us that man ought to always pray and not to faint. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to be prayerful people. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. But they went to Jesus and they said, Master. And the word master here really means like to say doc. Hey, doc. You don't care that we're about to perish, you know? And they went to him. They said, we're about to die here, and all you can do is sleep. You don't even care. And look, now he's on the boat with them, and they're not thinking that he care about himself too. They say, you don't care about us. Look how selfish we become when we get in a storm. When we get in a storm, we think about us. People don't understand us. We think about ourselves. We think we can tell people off and they ought to just take it. We think we can growl at people, curse at people, and just be mean to people because of the storm that we're going through. Maybe they got sunshine in their life and they're not going through a storm, so maybe they're trying to bring you a little bit of light in your dark time. I wish I had somebody. We need to get to a place that we quit being selfish when we go through our storm. Although the storm bring peril, we need to know what we've been taught. I've been taught how to pray in the midst of a storm. I've been taught how to seek God's face in the midst of a storm. I've been taught how to call on the name of Jesus in the midst of a storm, because at that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. At that name, demons fear and tremble. That will calm the sea of life if I can call on the name of the Lord. Anybody here understand what I'm saying? They said that here he is asleep on the pillow. And really, he wasn't on a pillow like we would think, a pillow in our bed. But it was a little piece of leather with some feathers, a little cushion. Right there where the person who sat to control the boat, they would sit there on the cushion and they would control the boat, because that's what they were supposed to do. And Jesus was laying down sleep rather than moving the rudder. Come on and say amen. And sometimes that's how we feel. We feel like, God, you ain't directing this thing. You're not giving me any direction. All I feel is that this wind is blowing, these waves are beating, this rain is falling, and I feel like I'm going in a circle. I don't know which way to go, and you're not directing this thing. And that's how we feel sometimes. And we start blaming God. If I wouldn't have did this, and if I wouldn't have did that, then we start regretting what we did, not knowing that that's a sin in itself. Because God, if he's the author of your life, he's the author and finisher, he's directing you no matter where you're at. He's director of the good and the bad and the ugly. Do I have anybody here that realize that no matter what you're going through, God is still with you? That even if it's bad and it looks bad, if it looks dim and grim, God is still there. He's sovereign. He haven't left you. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. I don't feel saved. I feel like I just ain't saved. I'm just going through so much. So what? How you feel? Do what you know. I know how to pray when I don't feel like it. I know how to pray to God when things are not going my way. I know how to stand, having done all to stand therefore. Do I have any standards today? Do I have anybody that says that no matter what goes on in my life, I know how to keep the faith, I know how to stand, and I know how to pray, because if I pray, I'll stay. I know if I fast, I'll last. I know if I keep on praying that God is going to hear me. I'm going to be like the widow and the unjust judge. I'm going to keep saying avenge me. I'm going to keep saying help me. I'm going to keep saying Lord, have mercy on me. Oh, come on and say amen. Here, we need to learn how to make our petitions heard by God. How do I do that? The Bible tells us that when we pray, we ought to give thanksgiving to God and make our petitions known by what? Thanksgiving. And so instead of us complaining, God, I'm just going through so much. You need to do something about it. You need to say, Lord, I'm glad you know what I'm going through. I'm glad you heard me before I opened my my mouth to pray. I'm glad you heard me and you know what I'm about to say. And I'm thankful that you already got me a solution. I'm thankful that you already made a way. I'm thankful that you already opened the door. I'm thankful that you're getting me through this storm. Do I have anybody here that said, I'm willing to say, thank you, Jesus. I thank you for the perils in the storm because the storm taught me how to pray and petition you. Do I have anybody here that say, I'm going to pray regardless. So the devil might as well get ready. If he bring a storm my way, I'm praying. If he bring a peril my way, I'm praying. Whatever he does, I'm going to pray. And some of us, we don't get on our knees until we go through something. And so God lets us go through so we can bow the knee. At that name, every knee shall bow. Hallelujah. It said, Lord, you care not that we perish. They question his love. How do you question God's love for you? I guess it must mean that God don't really want. How do you question? Because he does care for you. He cared for you more than you care for yourself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. That in itself tells us that since he gave his only begotten son, he gave him for us, that he must love us more than we love ourselves, because we couldn't even give ourselves for us. We can't get through a day without sin in our mind or in our members. I wish I had somebody. And since we can't do that, we can't even be good to ourselves. But God is good. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. The storm brought them to a place of petition in the midst of the peril that they were encountering. But then the Bible says that in verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I like this. He says that even though the storm brought perils and the storm brought us to a place of petition, but the storm brought a purpose too. I wish I had somebody. The storm brought a purpose. He says that the storm, it revealed their fear. And sometimes when we go through a storm, it reveals a place in us where we're weak, where I'm either fearful, which fear is the opposite of faith. False evidence appearing real. Fear is the opposite of faith. But we need the kind of faith that dispels and casts out fear. Amen. And so it showed that they had a weakness, although they had been walking with Jesus. 3 years, they walking with Jesus and they got fear. How is it that we have fear and we've been walking with Jesus all this time? We've seen him raise the dead. We've seen him open up blinded eyes. We've seen him open up deaf ears. We've seen him feed multitudes on many occasions, over 5,000 people. We've seen him do all these wondrous works. We've seen him do it and we still got fear. Many of us are the same way. We're no different. We're no better than the disciples, because God can do all this stuff in our life and we still turn around. 1 week we're up and the next week we're down. One week we got faith and the next week we got doubt. 1 week we're full of faith and the next week we're full of fear. I wish I had somebody. We don't know which way to turn. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah, you know what you're going to do. You're going to live and you're going to pray. I wish I had somebody here. You'll get through this. Nothing is too bad that God can't turn it around. Nothing gets to the point that God can't speak one word and deliver you. That's what it comes to, one word. And so when he arose, the Bible says that he arose. And because of their fear, their faith, not only did the storm bring the purpose of showing them that they had fear, but it came to test and prove their faith. Although they had fear, they still knew that they better call on Jesus. And even though they didn't have the faith that they were supposed to have, amen, because he says, why is it that you have no faith? He talks to them. They went to him in alarm, in distress, but they went with an attitude of you don't care. And when you have that attitude, that proves that you really don't have a connection with him, because you know that he cares when you have a connection. He said, and he arose, verse 39, and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Look at what he did here. He arose out of his sleep. And this is what I love about God. He ain't had to stretch. He ain't had to get himself ready like we do. We can't even pray for people. Well, I got to get myself together. It ain't about you. It's about him. And if he wants to use you, you need to be instant, in season, and out of. I wish I had somebody here. He arose out of his sleep and said a word. If you wake me up, I'll preach. I'm telling you, I can get up and I can say a word. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. I ain't got to go find no scripture. I got the word in me. The word has become flesh. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. He said he arose, rebuked the wind, and said, peace be still. When he rebuked them, he told it, basically, when he said, peace be still, he told it, he said, hush up or shut up. And then when he says, peace, that means to shut up, don't say another word. And so in your life, when you have a storm, all it takes is one word from the Lord. All it takes is him to arise in your life and say one word. But then when he said, be still, that's what got me. Because not only did he say, shut up, but the word be still really means to put a muzzle on. Help me, Holy Ghost. What he said here is that not only am I going to stop the storm, but this storm here, you'll never hear from him again. That's what he said. He said, you may have been through this storm, but because I woke up, I wish I had somebody, because I'm on board with you. And that's why the title and the thought today is Don't Panic.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Praise the Lord. Get your Bibles and stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity to hear your word. Allow the Holy Ghost to do as only he can. Let him tailor the text that we're teaching, that every hearer's heart might not only hear but heed, obey what you have to say. And God would be ever so careful to give you all praise and glory for the practicing of the principles that we shall hear this day, and give you praise and receive the profit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we celebrate this time of the month where Jesus and that great work of Calvary is the focus of our ministry, I'm drawn to the text found in Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 36. And Jesus shares with us and shows to us some principles we can practice as we prepare ourselves before our battles. Verse 36 says, in the 26th chapter of Matthew, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Once again, we want to talk from the subject, prepare yourself, or preparing yourself before your battles. Preparing yourself before your battle. One of the things that I love about is how Jesus shows us how to get ourselves together, how to prepare ourselves to be ready for battle. And I want you to know this, that no matter who you are, if you are born again, you need to be battle ready. I said if you are born again, you need to be battle ready. One of the things that I look at in this text, and there are several things that we want to pull out in your hearing today, is that Gethsemane was a place, and its name means olive bed or olive press. And it is a garden of olives. And olives were used for three main purposes, but so many other purposes and uses were found for the olives. The first was, it was a tool, an instrument, used for medicinal purposes, to cure, to help people in the arena of medicine. And secondly, it was used for culinary purposes, to cook, etc. And then the third, it was used for ceremonial purposes, used in the worshiping of God, the anointing of people, and many other uses were found for the olive. And so it was a precious commodity. And one of the things that you're going to note is, because he was in Gethsemane, this place, as we know it, was one of the places that was perhaps owned by wealthy folk. As a matter of fact, Jerusalem is an ascended place, and on the slopes of Jerusalem, the priceless property
going up the hill of the mountain. Only the very rich could own property anywhere in that vicinity. So it is suggested that some well and well-to-do person owned this place. And yet he gave entrance to Jesus to go in and to pray. It's interesting, my brothers and sisters, that when you are preparing for battle, God just knows how to get you ready by giving you everything you need to be ready for battle. He has a plethora of resources and persons and personalities to assist you. Though Jesus owned nothing while he was down here on earth, the reality is he owned everything. And yet, every time he had a need without